This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview WWE Payback. So Jake, I don't know if you've heard this, but the first WWE pay-per-view of the new era is taking place on Sunday night with WWE Payback. Before we get into our preview and predictions, I've got to ask, are you proud to have been to the last WWE pay-per-view of the old era?
You know, I guess. I think the fact that they've just declared it a new era and we haven't really seen the fruits of it yet makes me sort of not really believe it until we see a little bit more. But I feel honored to have been in the building for what turned out to be the most inconsequential pay-per-view of the last decade.
It's really crazy. I thought nothing could top the 2007 Great American Bash, but somehow WrestleMania 32 did it. It truly was the biggest WrestleMania of all time. But that didn't mean nothing. There's some sort of allegory or something you could work out there. But instead of getting all poetic and junk, let's talk about Ryback versus Kalisto. Kalisto is defending his United States Championship that has mysteriously gone missing, I assume, since WrestleMania. Is this where they put the title on the big guy, or are these guys going to have a best of three falls match on the Extreme Rules pre-show in 3 weeks?
You know, my gut says they're just going to go with Ryback. I can't imagine that the Kalisto experiment continues. I guess perhaps he gets a return match on Raw or another television outing. They might even move that one to SmackDown. But I think they didn't have any ideas for Kalisto when he won the title, and they certainly haven't developed any since he's been holding it. And Ryback seems to be one of those guys that they're willing to stick with, you know, through good performances and bad. So I'm guessing he's going to win eventually, whether it's here or at Extreme Rules. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, I'm amazed that they don't have more for Kalisto. I feel like Kalisto is a very talented and in the right ways charismatic star that they could have done a lot with, but he just randomly won the United States Championship twice and has done almost nothing else. Like, he's hardly defended it on TV. Jason has brought up multiple times that Kalisto should have, for the honor of the title, just kept doing open challenges, John Cena style, and it's hard for me to look and say that's wrong. I think it would have been compelling. Kalisto would have had entertaining matches on Raw and SmackDown night after night, even if they weren't always open challenges. You can work in tag matches or feuds and things like that stemming out of them. But Kalisto would have been a fine champion to do that with. And he's just randomly in this U.S. title match with Ryback because we did it last month, so why not? And this, by the way, on a card that is remarkably void of WrestleMania rematches, aside from that. I've got a high five WWE because normally the show after WrestleMania is just the exact same show with a couple stipulations. It's like the year they did Triple H and Brock Lesnar in a cage. Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, it was probably the best Triple H and Lesnar match, at least, so there's that.
That's a low bar.
It's a real low bar. Yeah.
I can't imagine that Kalisto's going to get a whole lot of attention outside of the tag division for now. I mean, it seemed like there was a glimmer of hope at one point that they were going to come up with an idea for him, and it seemed like they initially attempted to do so, you know, when he was constantly referencing Eddie Guerrero and other heroes that he wanted to emulate, but they never really followed up on it. And I'm not sure if that has more to do with them just not having a lot of ideas for it, or, you know, his performances being uninspiring and them having to backpedal a little bit.
Yeah, it's really strange to look at what's happened to Kalisto in 2016, because in the first few weeks of 2016, I thought Kalisto could low-key be one of the breakout stars of the year, with the surprise U.S. title win and all of that. I thought he actually could have been on a track to be not necessarily a main eventer in WWE, but a guy that flirts with the main event, a guy who could have had a feud with John Cena, could have had feuds with guys like AJ Styles, Sami Zayn. Like, there are some natural feuds in there for Kalisto when you look at it, especially if he's doing that open challenge idea. But obviously they didn't go that way. I'm fine just to get the title on Ryback so someone a little more interesting has it, even though Ryback isn't always the greatest. I think Ryback is more fun than most people do, so I'm cool with Ryback winning there. Now on to the main card. It's the number one contenders match for the WWE Tag Team Championships, the end of the tournament sponsored by Bootios. Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains. It's the clash of two teams that debuted in the week after WrestleMania.
I've been pleasantly surprised by what we've seen from these two teams. I mean, obviously Enzo and Cass are something of a force on the microphone. You know, they have their gimmick. You know who they are immediately the moment they step through the curtain. I think it's a very recognizable and mainstream type gimmick that can get over huge. But I think the biggest surprise out of this has been how well the Vaudevillains have held their own when given a chance to talk on the microphone, not only on Raw this past Monday, but there was a short segment on SmackDown last week as well, where I think they, you know, while they didn't like blow my doors off or you know, completely alter my perspective on them, I did not, you know, expect them to come with what I thought was an admirable performance. I mean, they weren't, you know, the type of heel that's immediately going to get booed in every building they go to. But I think if they continue to mature on the microphone and people become more comfortable with their characters, they may be somebody who can build steam over time.
Yeah, I am actually impressed with the Vaudevillains in a strange way where I don't think they're amazing, but I think they're a kind of fun heel tag team. And I know some people think the act is silly, but I think we've seen, especially in the tag division, sometimes silly works really well. I don't see anything sillier about Enzo and Cass or The New Day than what the Vaudevillains have. I don't see anything sillier about the Vaudevillains than those two teams, I should say. They're unique. Yeah, they are doing something kind of weird. I don't know that the shelf life on it's amazing, but they have impressed me more on the main roster than I've expected. And Enzo and Cass, I don't know, and I'll go with just Enzo here. I don't know that NXT has produced something as main roster ready as Enzo Amore ever. I don't know that they ever could. Enzo fits in perfectly. He is solid gold on the mic. Even his lines that don't work exceptionally well somehow work really well. He does really good work. And kind of because of that, I want the Vaudevillains to win here. I want them to cheat. I want them to do something underhanded. I'd like to see the Dudleys maybe cost Enzo and Cass this match. So Enzo and Cass still chase the tag titles because it's not their time to be in that tag title match yet. And you can let the Vaudevillains get built up as suitable foes for the New Day.
I wouldn't hate it. I mean, I think there's more to get out of Enzo and Cass and the Dudleys. I don't think they really took advantage of that as much as they should. It sort of just built to a tournament match and then it was gone. And I think there was more there, especially verbally between Enzo and Bubba. So I wouldn't mind them getting diverted doing that for a bit before, you know, they come back and challenge for the tag team championships. It's going to be tough because you put them together, you know, those two together with the New Day, and it just becomes this kind of convoluted who's the real heel here type of situation where, you know, they have characters that I suppose you could define either way, but nobody really wants to boo either one of them. So I'm all for the Vaudevillains getting first crack at New Day just because I think, you know, they are a more natural fit as a straight man to the New Day's sort of wacky comedy.
Speaking of wacky comedy, let's talk real quick about Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho. Has this feud made you happy at all? Has this feud, like, excited you? Because honestly, nothing Dean Ambrose or Chris Jericho are doing is really making me want to see them wrestle.
I think that's fair. You know, it hasn't been mind blowing. It seemed like they, you know, they had this tension between the two of them months ago. You know, when Jericho kind of first came back to team with them, or with Ambrose and Reigns, and then, you know, they had that walkout moment where Jericho got in Ambrose's face, and they haven't really built on that. Jericho's sort of doing his throwback to his own character in 2008, 2009, where, you know, he's just playing the smarmy heel, and Ambrose is sort of clowning on him a bit. But I want to feel like those two hate each other, and, you know, it really doesn't, you know, seem like there's a legitimate beef between the two. And I'm not sure, you know, what would be needed to grab the spark there, but the chemistry just hasn't worked for me. I've been much more interested in what Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have been doing, for instance, than Ambrose and Jericho. And it's not because I dislike either guy. It's just because they really haven't given me something to grab a hold of to say, okay, you know, these guys have created a story that I can believe in, because they just haven't. It just feels like they're sort of aimlessly heading towards a match that's inevitable because it's already been booked.
Yeah, it seems like they're two guys who could be doing a little more, but aren't, and they are the random guys on the mid-card that were paired together. And that happens on wrestling shows sometimes. I don't think that their feud over talk shows is going to excite a bunch of people. Who do you think wins? I'm kind of thinking Jericho, and they hold this out for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I don't see a reason why, you know, they would have to have Ambrose win the first match unless they have another program just ready made for him, you know, to, you know, somebody coming back or you know, he's going to be heading, you know, towards a conflict with Reigns, or I'm not sure exactly which direction they'll go with him, but depending on what happens on Sunday, and I'm anticipating, you know, the first match for Chris Jericho to get a sneaky win or you know, disqualification or something, you know, in order to continue the feud. But if they go with an Ambrose win and it happens clean, then they must be ready to move him into something a little bit more high profile.
Yeah, it seems like maybe, yeah, if they're going with that, maybe Jericho's going away and they're going to use that to catapult Ambrose into something a little bigger. But I'm not even sure what that is. I don't see things naturally lining up unless Ambrose is running to help Roman Reigns against some sort of faction that has formed. But you'd think that'd be a place for the Usos, unless it's a four-man faction. And we'll get to that on this show and probably on another show at some point, too. This Sunday, ProWrestling.net will have Jason Powell's live coverage of WWE Payback with the AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns main event. And .net members will get to listen to Jason and Jake's exclusive audio review, as well as see Jason's live coverage ad-free. That's on top of all of the other awesome member benefits that we offer. Want to become a ProWrestling.net member? Head over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link. Sign up is easy and for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out and see what I am talking about for yourself. If you want to support us another way, please subscribe to the show, review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just a few seconds to throw out a star rating can make all the difference for us getting into people's ears, getting some great wrestling news and analysis out to the people. It sounded a little evangelistic. Sorry about that. Tell your friends about it too, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And now, back to the show. Let's talk, though. Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin. I think this is as simple as Baron Corbin wins a pretty short match. I don't think Ziggler's a guy who should be challenging Baron Corbin at a very high level. I think maybe they go 8 minutes or nine instead of two or three, but I think Ziggler should lose to Corbin, and Corbin should keep rolling through guys at this point.
Yeah, no argument from me there. I think it's interesting to watch Dolph Ziggler at this point in his career, because he's a guy who a lot of people pinned some big expectations on not that long ago, and it just doesn't seem like his character ever evolved beyond being this sort of douchey jock that we're supposed to cheer for some reason. And, you know, they've never really defined that. And he's hasn't performed well enough to sort of escape that, you know, that sort of cage they've put him in from a character standpoint. And so he's just kind of there. Like I see him, you know, get attacked by Corbin and I don't really care. I see him attack Corbin back and I just would rather see Corbin get a quick victory and move on, because I think Dolph Ziggler at this point, you know, he can aid in the legitimacy of Baron Corbin, but I don't know much what else he has to offer at this point.
Yeah. And maybe that's my issue, is I'm just not quite sure what Dolph Ziggler really is at this point. Is he a guy? I mean, I could believe him going after the Intercontinental title or being in that mix. I don't believe him as a world title competitor, and I think they have high aspirations for Baron Corbin, and they don't want to slot him as just another mid-carder that trades victories back and forth yet. I think they want to do something a little bit more with Corbin, and they should do more with him while he's on the roster, coming off of winning the Dre, coming off of, you know, some sort of momentum with his debut. I don't think you halt that yet. I think you have a specific opponent in the future that halts it, and that person goes into a long, drawn-out feud with Corbin. And I just don't believe Dolph Ziggler's that guy. I don't think he has the legitimacy. Maybe even they think he has. The Intercontinental Championship, The Miz versus Cesaro. How good is The Miz right now?
You know, I've been really impressed. Oh. I've been really impressed with The Miz.
I thought you said you haven't been. I was about to yell at you.
No, I really have been. You know, I don't know how seriously people take him yet. I think he's still got a ways to go in terms of earning back people's willingness to, you know, to take him at a little beyond parity. You know, I think he got to the point where he was beaten so many times so quickly by so many people of, you know, up and down the card, that it got to the point where he was just kind of a pest heel that, you know, got in people's faces, but always got his ass handed to him. And now they have him in competitive matches with, you know, with AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And you know, it's nice to see him show off what he can do in the ring, because he's a great performer. And I think, you know, Maurice has added something. I guess I can't really define what that is. I think she, you know, she gets a little bit of a boo. I think she's mostly there to, because she's going to be on Total Divas. I can't really imagine why else. But, you know, I think the two of them have, you know, very good chemistry being husband and wife. So she's added a little bit to that dynamic. And I hope he gets to the point where he gets a victory that cements him back in people's minds as somebody that has to be reckoned with. Because I don't think they really got all they could have out of The Miz before he was pushed back down the card.
Yeah, I'm not sure they I'm not sure they did. I think Miz got pushed aside and really hurt by the Rock and Cena feud. I think more than anyone, Miz became such an afterthought for the WrestleMania when he really went into it doing the best work of his career. And I think Miz has been effective at other points as well. He didn't just become completely ineffective after that, but Miz has really worked hard to become to adapt and change and evolve. Some people will still say Miz isn't that good in the ring. With the right opponents, Miz is fine, like more than fine. There are wrestlers in NXT right now who are far worse than The Miz. There are wrestlers on the main roster who are worse than The Miz. Like, The Miz is not really my, The Miz's ring work is not my concern, as long as he doesn't have to catch anyone and from a dive. He still sucks at that.
Literally the worst.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever caught anybody.
He just doesn't do it. It's not in his contract. I look at The Miz versus Cesaro and I'm really torn, because I do believe The Miz has been doing great work, and I don't want to see his momentum stalled. At the same time, Cesaro's a dude who, he just came back from an injury. He's been having good performances. I think he is finding himself still as a character. I think and that's always been one of the issues with Cesaro, that the character doesn't quite connect. The closest he got was the tag team with Tyson Kidd and coming out of it, and now he's not exactly doing that. He's doing this 007 based thing, and I look at Miz and Cesaro and I see two guys that I want to win. Two guys, like, I don't want to see one of them lose and lose any momentum. I think if there's a match with a non-finish on this show, I kind of think it could be this match. So neither guy loses momentum, both are protected, and they can go to a gimmick match at Extreme Rules in 3 weeks.
You know, that makes some sense. I wouldn't be surprised if Cesaro just gets a win and they have the return match at Extreme Rules anyway. But, you know, I like what The Miz has been doing. I don't think Cesaro has been so, you know, above and beyond as a character since he's come back that you just have to push The Miz aside. I think they can find a way, you know, to make both guys strong here without, you know, losing something from The Miz's character. Because I think if he just goes into his first title defense after, you know, unseating Zack Ryder on pay-per-view and just gets beaten by the first guy that they put him up against, I do think it just cements his reputation as a guy who they put into a position for a single feud or perhaps a single angle on his talk show. And that's, you know, basically his new ceiling. And I don't think it necessarily has to be that way. So I hope they find a way to, you know, to make them both appear strong here, even if they do want to move the title over to Cesaro.
Yeah. And I don't understand why you move the title to Cesaro this sooner right now. I guess that's part of my issue too, is Cesaro just came back, and part of me wonders if there aren't world title aspirations for Cesaro in a few months, especially if they're going to keep the, if one of the ideas that WWE is building around is, let's put Roman Reigns against people who are going to have good matches with Roman Reigns. I mean, AJ Styles is going to have a good match with Roman Reigns. Same thing, I think Cesaro would, and has proven that he can. There are a lot of guys who can do that. Two of them are in the next match that we're talking about as we go through the card here. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. WWE finally told us the backstory on this. They did an awesome video on Monday night. And I'm really looking forward to this match. I'm looking forward to see what these two guys that I've watched wrestle in front of 300 people. Like, I've watched wrestle each other in great matches without a ton of people in the building. And I've seen this feud scale up. And now in an arena in Chicago, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens get to have a match. And I can already feel my heart beating a little bit faster because I'm excited to watch this.
Yeah. And as much as I was a critic of the way they handled it pre-WrestleMania, I think they found a way to make this feel like they're in the beginning of a very long journey together on the main roster. I don't know how long they're going to stretch this feud out. You know, maybe it's one or two matches now, and then they split them up and bring them back together again down the road in a more important scenario, like for a championship or something of that caliber. But I can definitely see, you know, this beginning a cycle of these two getting together every so often and having it be the highlight of a particular show or a pay-per-view. I don't know if, you know, I'm willing to see Sami Zayn get a victory so early, so I'm going to predict Kevin Owens to win this match. But I think they've definitely begun something here that people are going to be able to grab a hold of. And that's, you know, important in this era where so few matches feel like they really have a gravity to them. And this one definitely does.
Yeah. Right now I'm looking at Kevin Owens winning because I just don't think it's time for Sami Zayn to get that win. Sami Zayn, when he gets that big win over Owens, it has to be a culminating moment. It has to be a big thing. And that's one of the reasons I'm glad this feud does not have the Intercontinental title anywhere near it. They don't need that. Owens and Zayn don't need the Intercontinental title to be a big thing. And I think the fans will erupt with the fans will erupt with emotion and passion when Zayn beats Owens, whether or not a title is involved. Why not let them have that reaction to Zayn beating Owens one day? And then you still get to see them have that reaction to Zayn winning his first singles title one day. Like, there are so many other walls that Zayn has to climb in his career. Why would you give up one that fast. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I'm happy that the Intercontinental title isn't involved in this feud. And I'm with you. I see Kevin Owens winning this. I think it's the right thing to do. And I think Zayn versus Owens is going to continue for a long while. Women's championship match, Charlotte and Natalya. Are you excited for this? Are you excited to see what Ric Flair and Bret add? Do you think they'll have a match like that NXT TakeOver match they had that kind of kicked off a lot of, hey, these women's matches on NXT are better than anything talk?
You know, I'm not as excited as I hoped I would be. I'm not thrilled by the my family is better than your family story. Not that it can't work in any context, but I don't know. Natalya just doesn't do anything for me from a drama standpoint. I think her performances come across often as fairly wooden. And when she tries to come across seriously, it comes, you know, it seems kind of corny to me. And I'm not sure if it's just the Canadian accent or what it is, but I just don't buy her in a particularly serious role. And I haven't in quite some time. So I think that's probably my biggest hurdle. I think Charlotte's been okay, you know, but the premise of this feud just doesn't strike me as interesting as what they had been doing with Sasha and Becky. And so while I'm not, you know, down on this match from a physicality standpoint, I think both of these women are gifted and they can have a great match together as they've shown previously. I just am not thrilled by, you know, let's bring my dad and uncle to the ring and try to make this into, you know, try to add star power to the women's division, because I don't think it really needed it. They had plenty of stars they could have put in this situation if they wanted to.
Yeah, I'm torn because I have the exact same thought about dad, pop and uncle are going to come and they're going to make this match matter. At the same time, I can see how having two former world champions out there does add some legitimacy to a title WWE is trying to make feel important. As long as they don't overshadow it, as long as the women's championship seems like a big deal to Rick and to Brett, I can see where it works and where, hey, for a world title match, if you want to have two of the best of all time out there at ringside, more power to you. So I'm torn on that. I'm with you on Natalya. I do not buy Natalya as a character. I don't buy Natalya as anything but a credible in-ring wrestler. She isn't that great on the mic. I don't think she's able to get angry or passionate or any of the things you need a wrestling babyface to get. I don't particularly feel compelled to jump to her, like to jump onto her side in arguments. That's a problem for me. With Charlotte, I like what she's doing. I think Charlotte is actually doing great work, and she's really come into her own, starting with the feud with Becky Lynch, continuing through WrestleMania, where she was she got to steal the show. But I look at Charlotte, and I look at Natalya, and I go, where did the other stories in the women's division go? Y'all were telling a Becky Lynch and Emma story I was intrigued and excited by, and that's basically completely disappeared. Sasha Banks is still on the WWE roster. I checked just now. She is still on that roster, and she's not doing anything on this show. Paige is talented and could be featured. There are women on this roster who are very talented who shouldn't be pushed to the back burner just to have one women's program. And I think that's long been an issue with WWE, where they can only focus on one women's program at once. And there was a point last year where it seemed like they were trying to fix it, but they've fallen back into it, and they fell back into it at a really poor time because that division had a lot of momentum coming out of WrestleMania, and I think people wanted to see women's wrestling and were more receptive to it than they've been in a long time. And I it's the one thing that I feel like WWE really hasn't done well with coming out of Mania this year. Aside from the logic in the Shane McMahon story, which that's impossible to do well with because it doesn't exist, I think it's the women's division itself. Is this as simple as Charlotte wins? Do they move the title onto Natty after a month? I'm voting Charlotte wins.
Yeah, I don't think Natty, she may win the championship at some other point in the future when they need somebody to act as a transitionary figure, but I really don't see her winning at this point. Not after they had just crowned Charlotte, and not after they have so many other interesting feuds that she can go back to. I think Charlotte is your champion until SummerSlam or what thereabouts, because I think they have enough divas on the roster to keep that things interesting up until that point. And I think they could have a multiple month feud between her and Sasha, or, you know, eventually they could probably get back to Becky once she's sort of, you know, gotten through Emma or whatever else they're going to have her doing.
Or, you know, gets to make an appearance on TV again.
Someday.
Yeah. Real quick, we can make this one a quick one, because when people hear this, we'll have talked about this yesterday. Who does Vince McMahon choose to control Raw? I'm going with Shane McMahon because Vince is crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think setting up, you know, Vince to choose Shane is an interesting device, you know, to keep, you know, Triple H and Stephanie away from TV, at least in the short term. I you know, the logic, as you pointed out, doesn't make a lick of sense. You know, why he would go through the all that torturing of his son at WrestleMania just to, you know, appoint him the head of Raw the following night, and then again choose him a month later at the pay-per-view, you know, over the daughter who had been running the show for years prior to that and apparently had won his favor. Like, it makes no sense. Like, there's no justification for that big of a plot hole. But I guess, you know, it's wrestling and they're just going to do whatever the hell they want. So I would not be shocked if he chose Shane, just because I think, while Shane's delivery on TV hasn't really been fantastic, he's been a much more muted character. I think that has actually, you know, it wouldn't be my preference for him to continue, you know, to be so monotone and kind of boring. I think it's at least allowed the wrestlers to become the focus of the show rather than it constantly being some McMahon family circus. And I appreciate that.
I am absolutely fine with Shane McMahon being likable and boring. That doesn't bug me at all, especially not when the alternate option is not likable, evil, and overbearing the way Stephanie and Triple H started to be. So we'll save some of that talk for the show we'll record after this that everyone will have already heard, or at least I think .NET members will have already heard. If you're not a .NET member, oh man, could you listen to that conversation that I have on good authority was great. Finally, main event time, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, AJ in a WWE pay-per-view main event, which blows my mind in multiple directions, and Roman Reigns, okay, well, that one's not surprising at all, but we know Gallows and Anderson are out there. We know Finn Balor lost the NXT title. There's so much to talk about there, but just tell me real quick, who leaves this show WWE champion?
I'm going to say Roman Reigns. I think we're going to see the, you know, whether it's Finn Balor led or not, you know, the, I mean, we're going to see AJ Styles get attacked at the end of this match, and whether he joins Roman Reigns in fending off his attackers or Roman Reigns just leaves him high and dry because he's the man, he doesn't care. I guess doesn't really matter in the end, because I don't see any other outcome than Reigns walking out with his belt one way or the other.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Roman Reigns leaving as champion. There's no way. There's just no way WWE takes it away from him. They wanted WrestleMania to feel like a big defining moment. They have the mantra set for Roman Reigns now. He's not a good guy, not a bad guy. He's the guy. They have a direction they want to go in with Reigns, and they are using really good tools to move in that direction. I think that line is really good, and it doesn't bother me that Roman repeats it fairly often. And I think AJ is a really good opponent for Roman, and I think they're going to have a really good match. Do you think Finn debuts? Do you think this is it? This is the time we've kind of waited for Finn Balor to debut for months and years, and there have been rumors of it constantly. Is this the day?
I'm not convinced, just because I know he's pretty banged up, and I'm not sure, you know, at what point he's going to need to take time off. I know it's, you know, he's got ankle and shin that are banged up that he need to heal. I mean, obviously, you know, it's wrestling and you know, guys work hurt all the time. But I'm not convinced that now is that moment. I think they may, you know, just have Gallows and Anderson attack AJ and have a little bit more mystery carrying forward on television for a bit as to who is behind it. And I think there's more of an interesting story in an ongoing mystery if it's done well. I mean, and WWE isn't exactly known for subtlety in storytelling, so this may go horribly sideways. But I think there's more, you know, interest in you can generate with intrigue than there is just kind of blowing the doors off of it and having a surprise that everybody sort of sees coming. I think, you know, if you're going to have Finn Balor debut and have him join his former Bullet Club clan mates from, you know, ages ago, I think you can tease it out a little bit longer and build some more anticipation.
I was going to say this is the night and Finn does debut, but then you mentioned that and I thought, we've got a pay-per-view in 3 weeks. And maybe the most intriguing thing that could happen in AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns is AJ looks like he's about to win. Gallows and Anderson hit the ring and they go after AJ and they go after Roman and they end up causing a double disqualification. The match gets thrown out. It's a non-finish, but no one else helps them. No one assists them. And you could even say at Extreme Rules, AJ Styles and Roman Reigns are going to fight Gallows and Anderson. Then that's a way to get next month's pay-per-view main event and get this same intrigue around it. And then have them say, well, we're going to have some, you know, it's Extreme Rules. Anything can happen. We've got someone joining us. And you could low key hype the debut of Finn Balor that way. And I kind of wonder if that's a direction they go in somehow. I still think they may just do it here. They really might just do the obvious. Hey, Finn's here and he's going to attack you now. And I think that's a good choice too. Whatever gets Finn on the main roster and whatever gets him there. Jake, this was way too long of a show. Way too long. I'm bothered. Yeah, I'm annoyed. Everyone listening should hate us at this point.
I hate myself, to be honest.
Yeah, that's way too honest for a podcast. But that will wrap it up for us at long last. That's our preview and predictions on WWE Payback. Jason Powell's going to have live coverage on the website, prowrestling.net. Make sure to check it out. And Jake, are you doing the post-show audio with Jason?
As far as I know, that's still the plan.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah, so and .NET members are going to get Jake and Jason breaking down and analyzing the show. Always, that's actually legit a show I look forward to the day after a pay-per-view. Like, I wake up and I'm like, I'm going to listen to that podcast on the way to work. It's going to be nice. So, yeah, make sure to listen, make sure to tune in, and we will talk to you again soon. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!